I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I hope you're laughing. If you're a Bengals fan, maybe you're laughing, or maybe you are full of mirth. If you're a Ravens fan, maybe not. However, you can't actually listen to Funky Cold Medina and not have some kind of a reaction. It's impossible to not break out into a bit of a dance like Isaac is doing right now. Thank heavens there are no videos, or to just groove in your car, wherever you are at work. If you happen to be listening, you're studying for a big exam, say, on Friday, and it gave you a little boost. Well, that's good. Football can do that too, although it can also crush your soul. I mean, it's only week two, so, you know, maybe wait to have your soul crushed until the second month of the season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. There's such a long way to go. The title of my football column this week, Patience is a Virtue. Now, I was referring specifically to the newest crop of NFL head coaches, but it stands to reason that same principle should apply. At the beginning of a season, no team is ready to win a title. There should be a sense of urgency for those teams that lost their season openers. I'll give you that. Because statistics show, going back now 3 decades, going back to 1990, that if the team starts 0-2, only 12% of the time can it rally then to make the postseason. So for instance, here's a good example. Last year, 9 teams fell into an 0-2 hole. Only one of them, the New Orleans Saints, made it to the playoffs. And so you're talking about, you know, generally 1-8, 1-9. Those are not great odds. I don't know that it would have deterred our caller who told us he put $400 in for a survivor pool in the hopes that he might win 450 grand. And then the best part was that he asked me if I made the big bucks, as if it's perfectly normal to pay in $400 for a survivor pool where you can pick the Saints feeling like that's a fairly safe bet. And then boom, you're out before you even get to the late round of games on the first Sunday of the season. Nope, I do not. We actually have an office pool where you can buy into it and win money. But I know me, and I know survivor pools, and I know that they are extremely random and really difficult to win because the NFL makes no sense whatsoever. So I only do our survivor pool. I only do the free ones because I will be so can you imagine how much more ticked off I'd be? I'm not actually upset that I lost. It stands to reason that's what happens with me in survivor pools. But if I had to pay the $20 now and just give away the $20. No, that would irk me. At least with fantasy football, I feel like I have some type of control or some input. No, not so much with survivor pools. And that's why I'm swimming with the sharks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. At least I have company because of the 1,500 people who signed up for our survivor pool, Survivor Island, only 400, roughly, are left. How many people picked the Baltimore Ravens in week two? Do we have any idea? You still have time, by the way, if you didn't yet register your pick for week two, if you happen to survive, well, you could take one of the weekend games. But yeah, our waters are more crowded than our island is. What's the game you're most looking forward to this weekend? We are jumping around the NFL and talking about a few of them, and I would love for you to take our poll. It's on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll get to some of your comments coming up, because we've only put 4 options in the poll. That's the only That's the max number that Twitter will allow. I feel like it's very constrictive myself, but there's a lot of things I don't like about Twitter. That's way low on the list. So you can find either Twitter, Facebook, quote the tweet, and tell us the game you're most looking forward to, or you can just find us on Facebook. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. But before we get there, I mentioned a classy move by the New York Mets, but it's actually a bittersweet end to one man's career. And while I'm happy for David Wright that he'll have this last opportunity, presumably, to suit up in a big league uniform, he'll have this last chance to say goodbye to the fans who loved him so much in New York. I'm really sad for him because he has spent the better part of 2 years trying to get back to the point at which he could resume his major league career. And now the doctors are telling him there's not a whole lot more that he can do, that he's made as much improvement as he can. He's had neck injuries. He's had back injuries. He's had shoulder injuries. All of these have required surgery. So he's gone through multiple operations. And he's one of the good guys. That's the part that is so sad. That's the part that is so bittersweet. It's great that he got to play it all. He's the captain of the New York Mets. And I would say he's an icon, even though the team has been without him for the better part of the last, what, 4 years? Most of the last 4 years. But you won't find a human being who knows him who says a bad word about him. This guy is kind. He's compassionate. He's got a huge heart. He's the opposite of selfish. And so now over these last 2 years, with the three surgeries and an extensive rehab assignment, his body is saying no more. And so this may be the end of his big league career. It's unlikely that another team will pick him up. He's still getting paid, so you don't have to worry about him financially. But what he always wanted was to play baseball. He's a native. This was his dream, to play baseball in New York. And if I'm not mistaken, he grew up a Mets fan. So this was his dream, was to play for the Mets. And so I'm sad for him. And you could really hear the emotion in his voice. There was a big press conference on Thursday in which he talked about how much he appreciated this opportunity and how much he loves this organization.
To my teammates, coaches, and staff, it's truly been an honor of a lifetime to take the field with you and serve as your captain.
He's a 7-time All-Star, but now at 35 years old, he won't officially retire, but he isn't expected to play again once he has this last appearance, the penultimate game of the season for the New York Mets, the final Saturday of their season, September 25th against Atlanta. And the Mets are not only activating him, but they're starting him at third base against the Miami Marlins. Oh, wait. No. Oh, I'm sorry. They're activating him September 25th. They're playing him against Miami. So they've got a game against Atlanta on the 25th, and then they're playing him against Miami. I had to look at the schedule there for a second. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. He's such a player that fans love. When he first came on the scene, he had the potential to be right up there at that same level as a Derek Jeter. Now, I get it. Yankees have a lot of championships. Jeter has a lot of championships. But the excitement around David Wright and the fact that he wanted to be with the Mets. And he did have huge hits. And as I mentioned, a 7-time All-Star. He was a first-round pick going back in 2001. And not a slouch. His career batting average, nearly 300. Almost 1,000 RBI, 242 home runs. And another reason why he's so beloved is because he stayed. The longest tenured active player with a single team in the major leagues. Nerd alert! He is the all-time franchise leader in hits, runs, walks, RBI, and doubles.
The love and the support that I've received from inside the organization, outside the organization, has been first class, and words can't express the gratitude that I have for everybody. And I really mean that, and I really appreciate that.
There's a part of me that wishes we could have seen the full potential of a David Wright, a healthy David Wright. But that's not real life. I mean, that happens. Everywhere you look in sports, there are careers that are cut short. And credit David, because he's tried a lot longer than most to get back to the point at which he could be a big leaguer, get back to the point at which he could contribute. He had a dozen rehab games last month. He was doing everything he could to get back into form. But as I said, doctors have essentially told him he's unlikely to see any more improvement. And I love this perspective from him. I've been wearing this uniform for half my life now. I truly bleed orange and blue. And so the Mets are giving him a chance to say goodbye to the fans, giving the fans a chance to say goodbye to him, allowing him this moment in the sun. And let's be honest, it doesn't matter, right? Because the season is over for them. They have no chance of making the playoffs. And so this is by far more important than whatever the outcome of the game might be. This will be the biggest and most important thing that the Mets do since they started out the season 12-0, or was it 11-1, something like that. I mean, it's been a mess for most of the year since April. Maybe Jacob DeGrom wins the Cy Young. Maybe the voters kick out the wins and losses and realize that everything else he's done, he just doesn't get run support. But aside from that, this is the most important decision the Mets could make this year. And for the first time and only time now, David will get to play in front of his two young daughters.
I really, really am going to love that game because, you know, they get a chance to see me play in the big leagues for the first time. And that's, that means a lot.
Olivia and Madison are David's daughters who've never seen him play before. So second to last game of the regular season, David Wright, third base, one last time for the New York Mets, as it should be. I've missed him since he got hurt. He was one of my favorite players to watch. So this is a classy move by the Mets, but it's certainly bittersweet. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Coming up, you judge if Jalen Ramsey is a good trash talker or just meh. I'll let us know which game you're most looking forward to this weekend. Houston and Indianapolis is one that, or did I say Indianapolis? Sorry. Houston and Tennessee. Titans, Texans, one that I'm looking forward to. I know it sounds odd, but I'll explain. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
Thanks so much for tuning into the show as we head in toward a Friday and we head toward a football weekend. We're getting excited about not just the college slate on Saturday, but also what's to come on Sunday, week two in the NFL. What game are you most looking forward to? We got a poll up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. I retweeted, plus it's on our Facebook page as well. One of those games that is part of our poll, and right now the leader in the clubhouse is the Patriots and the Jacksonville Jaguars. That one taking place in Florida, a rematch of the AFC Championship. Now, Jalen Ramsey is a nonstop talker. Sometimes he's talking trash. Sometimes he's just talking to talk. It doesn't matter if he just got burned for 100-something yards by an Odell Beckham Jr. Now, he wasn't matched up on him the whole time in the game against the Giants, but it's easier to talk when you win, right? Well, Patriots won the AFC Championship. Jacksonville gave him a run, but Pat's still able to come back and clinch their spot in the Super Bowl again. And yet that does not prevent one Jalen Ramsey from talking. And so here he is again. All week long we've heard him talking about how Tom Brady doesn't suck and how he's not afraid of Rob Gronkowski and everything else. I wonder if there's ever a time when he just says no comment and declines to speak. I don't think we've gotten to that point yet. So he's really excited about the fact that this rematch will be played in Florida and feels like they've got something special waiting for the Pats.
Really looking forward to that. I know the fans going to come out. Show big support. And we definitely feed off their energy when they're out there and the place is rocking. So I think it's going to be a good atmosphere. I'm excited that this is our home opener. So good one.
I would agree with that. I think Jacksonville Jaguars fans realize the team has finally turned a corner. And though there is still some reservation about Blake Bortles, I get it. I'm not sure what else the guys do to prove it to you that in big situations, he can be counted upon. I know at times during his career, it's been up and down a roller coaster. But think about the plays he made with both his hands and his feet in the playoffs last year. But more importantly, this team is one of the best defenses in the NFL. The run game, too. Now, a lot of it hinges on Leonard Fournette and his health. He's dealing with the hamstring. But still, this team has a lot to offer, a lot to like about the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I believe that they're still on the rise. I don't believe that they've plateaued. Now, we'll see if they can live up to the expectations and take advantage of this opportunity. Like the fact that they've taken these massive steps as a franchise again now, this particular group, using the wisdom and experience of Tom Coughlin, the fact that he brings discipline, he brings determination, he has a particular culture and a way that things need to be done. He expects that his guys are professionals and they carry themselves a particular way. But you know what? It worked for the Giants, so you can scoff at it at your own risk. Still, though, he hasn't yet told Jalen Ramsey he can't talk about Rob Gronkowski.
He good now. We ain't gonna get it twisted. He's good, but it, like, you saying this to me, is it supposed to like bring fear to me or something? Like, all right then, I don't fear no man, period. So he gonna have to come out there and line up on me.
They're gonna see a freak of leak.
Oh gosh. We got goofy Rob Gronkowski, who loves to do the spikes and...
That's pretty cool. I love puppies.
Show off his muscles, not puppies, during the games. And then we've got Jalen Ramsey. He's going to have to come out and line up across from me. What did he say earlier in the week? Can we find that audio?
I don't fear no man.
I mean, that pretty much sums it up, though. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, there's no crying in football or baseball or any other sports. No crying, but there's also no lovey-dovey, kiss-kiss, hug-hug friendships.
My brother, my dad, my mom, grandma was out there. Like, it's on. Like, after the game, we can be cool. It doesn't matter. That's how I feel like you got to respect the game of football. The football is not a game meant to be played, being nice to each other and all that. Like, kumbaya. But after the game's over with, that's cool.
Oh, that's my best part. The game's not meant to be played all nice to each other like kumbaya. I didn't even know that anybody still knew what kumbaya was. But good for you, Jalen Ramsey. He is entertaining. Now, I don't know if he belongs among the best trash talkers in sports, but he definitely is entertaining, and he has a way of getting under the skin of his opponents. He takes that seriously. It's actually one of his special gifts, is being an irritant. You know who it reminds me of? Draymond Green? Maybe Lance Stevenson? Just coming up with a couple of guys from basketball in which you're in close contact. I mean, those guys like to be irritants. They do it on purpose.
Honestly.
And Jalen Ramsey does it as well. Part of his game is to get in your head. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, Leonard Fournette, maybe a much bigger question mark. We all know Jalen Ramsey can talk. But for Leonard Fournette, still wondering how he's going to be able to go. They're working it very lightly this week, of course. Doug Marrone wants him to be as healthy as possible. The problem is hamstrings don't rush. They just do not rush. And so he could not be available, and that would definitely take away a major piece for the Jags offense.
As a competitor, you know, nobody doesn't want to miss any games. You know what I mean? Especially we have a lot of big games early in the year that's coming up, and it might not count to some people, but I think every game counts to me, you know, as far as a player and one of the leaders on this team.
I mean, I think it counts. You really can't afford to overlook one game. There's only 16 in your regular season, so it definitely counts. So this is one of the national games. You'll see it on CBS over the weekend. Both the Pats and the Jags are 1-0. Brady last week, that's Brady, Tom, had 277 yards and 3 touchdown passes. Gronk didn't care how much the Texans double-teamed him. He was shoving guys off, shrugging off those holds and the uniform grabs, and still had 7 catches for 123 yards and a score. As for the Jaguars, it was not nearly as pretty against the New York Giants, but most importantly, they used that physical, tough defense to push the Giants around in the trenches, and that's where they start. That's where the success of the Jacksonville Jaguars begins, is in the trenches with the O-line, with the defensive line. They're physical, they're fierce, they're intense. I mean, they're tenacious. So the big question mark for them remains, even with the hamstring improving for Leonard Fournette, will he be able to go and will he be anywhere close to full speed? And can Jalen Ramsey get Rob Gronkowski to play the mind game with him? I'm going to think no. I'm not sure what's going on in Rob Gronkowski's brain, but kind of feel like he's not the guy who can be goaded much. Every now and then you'll see this burst of emotion from him.
Like, what am I supposed to do?
Every now and then he wants you to know he's a freak-a-leak.
Makes big cash.
Oh my God. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. What is the game that you're most looking forward to coming up this weekend? One of the options in our poll is the Patriots and the Jaguars in Florida, but you can quote the tweet and then submit any of the other games. I know a lot of you in Charlotte area, Atlanta area, anywhere in the Carolinas, giving you something to look forward to while Hurricane Florence bears down, but you're really excited about that NFC South matchup with the Panthers and the Falcons. Oh, and one, please forgive me for my one correction. David Wright is not from New York. I got that messed up. I apologize. He's from Virginia.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico with some good news. There's a quick way you can save money. Who doesn't need to do that right before the weekend? If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance to go along with your car insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. Again, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. What's the game you're most looking forward to? I've got one. You may think I'm odd. I mean, I am odd, but I've got one that's a little bit off the beaten path, and it's not even in our poll, and I'll tell you why coming up. You can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and you can also weigh in on our Facebook page. Some fun comments on our Facebook page. I know you're all jazzed up about the weekend. Let's take a call here first. Josh is in Boston. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy. You know, I'll start sports real quick. Obviously, I'm a Patriots fan calling out of Boston. I think this Jaguars game is going to be rough. And obviously, the Red Sox need to win at least a round to really at least consider to be a decent team. But on a real serious note, like, as far as, like, Florence goes, and I don't know if you heard about the explosions in Lawrence and North Andover and
I did.
Andover, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really serious. You know, that's my hometown. And, you know, I'm just really worried about that area. And, you know, obviously with the Florence impact, you know, I just hope everyone stays safe and hunkers down. And, you know, that's really all I wanted to say.
Well, I appreciate that, Josh. I'm sure they do, too. We have a lot of people listening in the Carolinas and a lot of people who are bracing for impact. And then for people who don't know, there were some gas explosions in the area of Massachusetts that Josh is talking about. And the last I saw, there was one person dead, but a bunch of other people injured. And there were some fires, some really large fires. So, of course, the first responders and firefighters, they're critical, putting themselves in harm's way. So, yeah, just a terrible situation, of course, and one that would catch a neighborhood completely off guard. I appreciate your phone call, Josh.
Absolutely. Thank you, Amy.
You're welcome. As for the sports part, the part that doesn't really matter, when we're talking about a hurricane that is just about to make landfall in North Carolina and has already stranded hundreds of people because of storm surge. So it's not even over land yet. It's still just off the coast as a Category 1 storm. So thankfully, it's no longer a 5 or a 4. It's been downgraded to a Category 1, and the winds are between 75 and 90 miles per hour. But there's already people who are stranded because of the storm surge itself. And so it's still an extremely dangerous storm. So if you're in that area, please be careful. I thought it was pretty amazing to see what some of the universities, the college football teams have done in giving up their hotel rooms. And obviously a lot of the games have been canceled, a lot of travel plans were put into flux too. Whether it be college, whether it be pro, you're talking about a lot of teams that are on the move when it comes to a football weekend. And really neat that coaches and universities recognize that football is secondary. It's, yes, it's big business, and yes, they love the games, and it means a lot to the universities themselves. But in terms of the magnitude of this storm, games, football, insignificant. And so it was neat to see that there are football teams that are giving up their hotel rooms that they had reserved for their own travel accommodations. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. This game preview is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, $5 game day pitchers, cocktails, cheeseburgers. I could eat a cheeseburger right now. And brats. When football is on, you have to be at Buffalo Wild Wings. The price and the participation may vary. Okay, this game may not be on anyone's radar or many football fans' radar as a game to focus on this weekend, but I am really interested in this progression with not just Andrew Luck, but with Deshaun Watson, as these two quarterbacks are so significant for the rebounding of their two teams. And for Andrew Luck, it's been, I mean, he's been dealing with these injuries for so long, the shoulder and the pain, and had just thrown his first touchdown last weekend for the first time since the end of the 16 season. But he hasn't been right for a really long time. And so now here he is. And that's another step for him is to be able to get back on the field this weekend and to play through whatever soreness there is. And he said there is soreness. And so for me, I'm watching not just the Colts against Washington. And believe you me, that Washington offensive line is going to want to dominate in the trenches too. And so the defense has got to carry its end of the weight. It can't just be Andrew Luck. In the past, it's been too much Andrew Luck. And that's where the Colts get into trouble. And so you've got Colts on the road at Washington, where Alex Smith is just steady Eddie. But I'm certainly interested to see what steps forward he makes. So maybe not an interception on his first possession or the first first drive for the Colts. And then what can they do to disrupt the offense of the Redskins? Again, it can't just be the offense, and it can't just be Andrew Luck scoring a ton of points. It has to be the defense being able to slow that running game down with Adrian Peterson and Chris Thompson, and to be able to somehow get to Alex Smith, if at all possible, or at least make him somewhat uncomfortable. So that's a game that I'm really looking forward to. One of the ones that's not a divisional matchup, but another is also the Texans. Now, this is inside the AFC South. You remember the Texans and the Colts both went 4-12 a year ago. Obviously, Watson got hurt, tore the ACL. They plummeted to the bottom of the AFC South, and they had the same record as the Colts, who I think had far lower expectations because they never had their quarterback on the field. But so important to what these two teams do. So now you've got the Texans going on the road at Tennessee. Speaking of quarterbacks, Marcus Mariota, he's better. He's feeling better. But will Mike Vrabel have his starter when they host the Texans?
Be able to evaluate the quarterback situation as we got closer to the end of the week. So that was why, he was limited just because he didn't get the normal reps that he would normally get. And just being able to evaluate the best chance at the end of the week, especially on Sunday.
I mean, that's tough. Essentially, what he's saying is we're having to balance trying to see if Marcus Mariota can go and be effective, but also making sure Blaine Gabbert is ready, if at all possible. And so this game to me is another one that's really significant. Both teams are 0-1. And as I've mentioned a couple times during the show, teams that start 0-2 see their playoff chances drop to 12%. Only 12% of teams that start out 0-2 rally to make the postseason. So it's usually 1 out of 8, 1 out of 9, something in that area. And last year it was only 1 of the 9. And so Houston needs Deshaun Watson to find a rhythm, and maybe it's about the lack of reps in the preseason. It's about guys not being completely healthy. Maybe it's about starting on the road at New England. There's a lot of different reasons why this game is important, not just for record purposes, because you want to see progress every week. You want to see that they're getting better and that the offense is coming together and that Watson's feeling more comfortable. And he says there's no limitations. He's not worried about the knee. Certainly had gone through rehab before and had to come back from an ACL before. So it's not a new process for him. But he's got to be able to use all the tools, use all the skills for that team to be a winner. And for him to be able to get the ball to DeAndre Hopkins. Hopkins feels like they have everything they need. It's just a matter of putting it all together.
Vrabel's a great coach. He wouldn't have got that job if he couldn't get that team wins. Watching film, we know what we have to go out and do to be successful against these guys, and I'm pretty sure they'll say the same about us. But it's about going out on Sunday and, making plays.
He mentions Mike Vrabel at the beginning. I didn't set that up very well. So Vrabel being the new head coach for Tennessee. And wouldn't have gotten that job if he wasn't a good head coach. I guess we'll find out since he's never been a head coach before. So Hopkins can be dynamic. He's a game changer too. We know Tennessee's got a stiff defense. And the Texans do too. Maybe this has been one of those knockdown dragouts in which it's, I don't want to say more turnovers than scoring plays. That actually wouldn't be as much fun. But sometimes you think about it, two teams that are familiar with one another, personnel relatively familiar, a Watson and a Texans offense who's desperately trying to find a rhythm and to settle into a rhythm. But going back to the last time these two teams played, do you guys remember what happened? Now, completely different. Okay, we're not... I don't expect this. Of course, I didn't expect Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to put 48 points on the board in New Orleans, so what do I know? But it was just Deshaun's third NFL start against the Titans, and they beat them by 43. You guys remember that game? It was a stunner. The Texans scored a franchise record 57 points. And right away, Watson was catapulted into that MVP conversation, even though it was really early in the season. But Texans came right out of the locker room from the jump. 3 consecutive touchdowns. And they even had 20 points in the fourth quarter, so they were still pedal to the metal. Now, again, I don't expect that it would be a 43-point blowout, especially since the offense is not quite there yet. The timing is so important. This is another chance for them to work on it. Without Delanie Walker for the Titans, who will Mariota or Gabbert use as that security blanket, that safety net? And can the defense really limit the Texans so that the offense isn't behind the eight ball right away? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Marcus Mariota.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.